We the People, a program brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We are changing it up a little bit here this morning. You're thinking, hey, where's Elizabeth? She's in San Diego. So you just get Aaron and
Mark.
You get Aaron and Mark today. So we're filling in with Chandler. We're changing it a little bit just for this one particular week so that she can have some time off with her family. And Bill's here, but he's too far away from the microphone. You can't hear him. We couldn't convince him to come in and talk to you.
I thought this was a permanent position.
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. 30 seconds in, we've already got an insurrection brewing. Oh, it's not pretty. Well, we might as well have fun now because our topic isn't exactly, it's not exactly fun, but it is exceptionally timely. We're going to talk today about the smart meters. And if you're not familiar with smart meters, this would be a good time to get familiar and get busy. This is one of those things I warned my sister. She lives down in the Sacramento area. I sent her a message on Tuesday about the smart meter and said, make sure you don't let them put one on your house. And Thursday, the PG&E guy showed up at her house. And if I wouldn't have sent her that message, she would have had one. It's a little harder to get rid of than it is to keep it from coming on. So, if you're not sure why you would not want one, let's just talk about the cost of the power. I'm not wild about having my power bill double. And they'll tell you that it doesn't, but everybody I've ever talked to who has one on their house, the reason they knew they had a smart meter was because their bill doubled. So, not great. We're going to have Orlean Curla with us from Santa Rosa here in a little bit. And she's really the expert on this whole thing. She's written a bunch of books, actually. I think she's written 20 books, as a matter of fact. She has been serving as the state president of Eagle Forum of California since 2002. Eagle Forum is a pro-family, pro-life conservative organization started by Phyllis Schlafly back in the 1970s when she was fighting the Equal Rights Amendment. Orlean is a former speech, drama, and journalism teacher who's now a substitute teaching in the Santa Rosa area. She's a published author of many articles and books. Some of them, she's written Looking at Lincoln, A History and Guide to Lincoln, Nebraska, The Golden Rule School, Character Education, The Real ID Act of 2005, Giving Up a Whole Lot of Liberties for a Little Bit of False Security. I think we're all kind of on board with that one. I'm holding her gigantic book by Stealth and Deception that you will be able to pick up at the Reading Tea Party meeting Monday night, 6 o'clock, because she will be our speaker. So I would encourage you, if you have folks in the Reading area on Monday, send them to the meeting. They can pick this up. And the book that's coming out, believe it or not, this book's like 666 pages. It's a pretty hefty book. It's only half the book.
Wow.
It was so gigantic when she wrote it, she had to split it into two books. So the other part's called The Incremental Chipping Away of the Once Great USA.
So now we're into volumes.
We are into volumes. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. Can you imagine? As you're writing something, you literally have to just...
It's incredible. The farther you go down the rabbit hole, it seems like the deeper it gets.
Exactly. Yeah. The book is $20, just so you can plan your budget there. But I would encourage you to bring $10 and get also this workbook. It's about 200 pages. It's 100 pages front and back, but it's Just Say No to Big Brother's Smart Meters, the latest in biohazard technology, and that's a useful tool.
I believe we're also going to be having signs there that you can stick on your meter.
We do. We'll have the little labels that you can stick on your meter, which is awesome.
Yep. So it prevents them from putting the smart meter on. And, part of the problem, too, I think, here is the fact that, you know, the PG&E is telling us that it's mandatory. And I did a little research last night and found out that it's actually optional. And you have a choice as the private property owner to have it on there or not. And I kind of resent when someone lies to me.
Yeah. There was a program on one of the local stations here in town where they said they weren't putting the meters on at all. But somehow they're getting on people's houses.
Yeah. Anytime you have to do something through deception, I sort of had a problem with that.
Get a little,
you know?
Little snag there.
Yeah, that kind of upsets me a little bit. You know, truth seems to be thrown by the wayside just because they have an agenda of some sort.
Yeah, it's not pretty. So we will get into all that. On our way to the smart meter discussion, she's going to take us through some of the material in her book by Stealth and Deception. The subtitle on that is Transformation, and it's parallel to the European Union. So we're going to talk about the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, all the spooky stuff.
We're not going to get into the spooky dude, though, right?
No, no.
Oh, okay, good.
There's way too many. You can't even list them all.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna talk
for Halloween is what you're saying.
We're going to talk about some of that kind of stuff, which is cool. And I think you're going to learn a lot this morning. And for those of you who have friends who live outside the area, go to readingteaparty.com. And click on Radio Show across that top bar. It'll take you to our radio page. Robert is doing an amazing job on that page. And the format of that is due to change a little bit. It's going to be so much easier to navigate. You're going to love it. All right. So we're going to take a little break here. And so you get a chance to grab your pen and pencil because there's going to be a lot of information and some coffee. So right now you are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media. Hey guys, we're back here at We the People, a program sponsored by the Reading Tea Party. We're going to have a full house here. We've got Mark Kent here from North State Tax Consultants.
Yeah, that'd be me.
One of our advertisers. We're going to force him to do a commercial. See, if he won't cut a commercial so we can air it, then we're going to make him come in.
There's something really strange about advertising myself. I feel weird.
So make you feel kind of slippery.
I don't know. I just feel like a used car salesman or something right now.
221-0101.
That's right. 221-0101. Come on down and get your new data organizer. We got them on hand for the upcoming season.
That's right. And with the data organizer, you will have a better shot at keeping more of your money.
Yeah, organization is a pretty key issue here on the tax side. You know, being kind of serious here a little bit, is the fact is that the more that we learn to organize our records, the more money that we are able to keep just because we're starting to see all the deductions that we're entitled to instead of throwing them out the window going down the freeway.
Exactly. Or bringing in a box filled with receipts and stuff like that, hoping someone can read your mind and wasting everyone's time.
Yeah, the big, huge proverbial box of stuff doesn't really work really well for me.
No, it's kind of a drag.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't really do that. We need a bookkeeper to do that.
But I'm here to tell you that if you bring your stuff in and you follow the data organizer and Mark pounds it all into his computer there, you can crank out your tax return in less than an hour, and you're going to have more money than you thought.
Yeah,
they're going to have less money than you thought, maybe.
Well, the whole idea is to create a cooperative effort between the taxpayer and the tax preparer, as opposed to an adverse relationship where you go in and it's almost like going to the dentist.
Just
going to
say that.
I get that a lot.
Like a bad dentist visit.
It's like a bad dentist. Like it's like Steve Martin in The Little Shop of Horrors, you know.
But see, I was just at the dentist Thursday, and I don't know, it was awesome. So, well, it depends on where you go. Again, classic case. It all depends on where you go.
Well, if he starts singing I'm Your Dentist while he's coming towards you with some big, medieval-looking sort of tools.
No, yeah. I go to Ann Malotki. She has small hands. Oh. That's how you should pick your dentist. Look at their hands. Compassionate with small hands. So, let's see. So, there's one of our advertisers.
Yeah, I think, was that an advertisement?
It was. North State Tax Consultants there on East Cypress Avenue. You can find them at 221-0101.
530-221-0101, 1347 East Cypress Avenue. By appointment only. Call in if you need an appointment. Come by, pick up a data organizer.
Yeah, you got to plan just a little bit. Trust me, though, if you're not a very good planner and you're a procrastinator like me, they still like you anyway.
Yeah, we still like you. We might not help you.
So much pressure.
Just kidding.
It's only January. Okay, so my stuff's not ready.
Oh, yeah, we can't even file till anybody who's itemizing can't even file till after February 14th because of the law changes that were happening at the end of the year with the Bush cuts. The existing tax law, instead of increasing the taxes. So if you're itemizing, it's better to get your stuff in, get it prepared now, and get ready for the season to be filed. Otherwise, you're going to have to, it's going to be a tighter crunch.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's see. If you wanted to call in on this program, you would call 530-605-4567. If you want to follow us online or you know somebody who lives out of the area and you want them to get this information, give them a call. Tell them to go to readingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show, and that'll take you to the page where you can click Listen Live. And they can just listen through their computer. We have a chat window open, And we've already got people commenting in there, so that's a good way to ask questions or call in. Either way.
Are we streaming worldwide?
We are.
Wow.
Because that's the www part of the... Is that what
that stands for?
Yeah. Dear God. Unbelievable. Okay, and then just a couple little other announcements here. We also are sponsored by Bill Miller Auto Transport. Bill Miller takes vehicles all over the place, wherever you need them. Across the country, say you bought a classic car, you need it transported, say you're moving or someone else is moving. Bill Miller Auto Transport here in Reading is fantastic.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy and a great patriot. You can find his information right there on the website. Also, All Tactical Lube. So whether you have firearms that need to be lubed, which is a constant battle, or you have, locks in your house, doors in your house, you have other things that you would like a really, really amazing lubricant.
I'm thinking tools, would be a good thing.
It's not like anything else. It's not made out of silicone or any other stuff. It's made out of secret stuff that Jim Maia had invented.
I'm going to try it this week. I've been putting it off for a couple of weeks because I didn't have to clean anything. All right, get out then.
You can't help? You don't know anything about it?
I can't help yet.
Drats.
But I will soon know the value
of All Temp Tactical Lube.
All Temp Tactical Lube. I've heard nothing but good things.
Absolutely. And the other really, really good part about it is that if you go to their website at alltemptacticallube.com and either call them on the 800 number or order through the web, if you order a bottle of it sent overseas to someone in the service, they will send two more with it. So three bottles for $39.95 because they are patriots.
And you can't get any more patriot than that.
Nope, you can't. And so we're gonna stop with the commercial stuff. And I just want to let you guys know, too, for those of you that plan what you're going to be listening to and what's happening at the Reading Tea Party meetings on Monday, next week we have Karen England from the Capital Resource Institute. And those are the guys who lobby on all things family, all the social issues that fall under the umbrella of the Tea Party. The Tea Party big umbrella is limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. We don't really focus on all the family issues.
I think if we focused on those issues, that all the other problems would start to solve.
Exactly. So, she's and plus she's hilariously funny. So plan your calendar accordingly. She'll be on the radio with us on Sunday, and she'll be at our meeting on Monday. We're trying to make that a bit of a pattern. We also have Dr. Kaufman coming the week after that, and let's bring in Orlean, and maybe she can. Not only start us off on our journey here, but also tell us about Dr. Kaufman, because you actually know him.
Yes, I do. Good morning. I'm very happy to be on your program, Aaron. And who is the other host?
I'm Mark Kent, North State
Hello,
Consultants.
Hello, Mark. I'm happy to meet you by radio.
Nice
I do
to meet
know
you
Dr.
as well.
Kaufman. We had him come and speak for three different Eagle Forum conferences that we have had in past years here in California. He is from Maine, and he's written some incredible books. He's been fighting the environmental wackyism that's been going on in our country for a long time. And he was the one that was most instrumental in stopping the biodiversity treaty that came out of the Rio de Janeiro conference of 1992. He kept telling the senators, you do not want to vote for this treaty, but they were not even able to see it. They were going to vote for it sight unseen. He kept telling them, no, this treaty has something to do with the Wildlands Project, and he tried to explain to them what that was, that it would be 50% of our country would be forced to go back into a pre-Columbian time, and they thought that was so ridiculous, but he was able to get a copy of the treaty just hours before they were to vote. He had to send to Switzerland, or fly someone to Switzerland to get it. And so just hours before they were to vote on this treaty, they actually saw a copy of it, and yes, it did say Wildlands Project in there. They didn't even bring it up for a vote once they saw that. So we really can be very thankful to him for that. However, under President Clinton, a year later, he essentially adopted the treaty by executive order. So we are now going along with Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, the Biodiversity Treaty, and Dr. Kaufman is a real expert on all of that.
Yeah, my understanding was that he was actually one of the scientists involved in some of these projects before he started seeing, what the agenda actually was.
That's true. He then began to see the light, and began doing his own investigation. And he has a master's degree, I believe, in forestry, so he really understands what's going on with their shutting down of all of our forests. So you will really enjoy him. I'm glad you're bringing him.
And he's part of, we've been working on private property rights. And so as we kind of go down the trail on private property rights, it seems like everything, because it's our independence. I mean, that, I guess.
Well, there's a direct link between private property and freedom. The founding fathers knew this, because what happens is if you're not able to have private property rights, for example, one thing that's private property is your money. And if the government has the ability to circumvent your property rights, it's just like saying, I can take all your money and your land, and so you become subject to whoever in control of your property rights.
That's so true. And it used to be that our property rights were really protected by our federal government and state government, and now it is just the opposite. Under Agenda 21, they are trying in every way to take away our property and force us to come into cities so we can be stacked and packed and essentially more easily controlled. That's what all of this is about, is control.
We affectionately refer to those as the rabbit hutches.
That's a very good illustration name for them.
It's kind of a scary visual, though. You know, it's like, let's move from, I mean, even when I was in college and I lived in a dormitory, I mean, it was kind of a rabbit hutchy, but boy, I just saw a video on YouTube of a guy in China, 340 square feet. And that's his whole house.
Wow.
And he had all these sliding walls, so it was like one of those transformers that our kids used to play with. The walls slide around, and now the house is a kitchen. Now the house is a living room. I'm thinking, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I guess, the standard of living is, and the mindset behind that's quite a bit different, you know, than freedom and quality of life. It just doesn't seem to be part of the equation in some of these agendas that they're pushing on everybody. So it's more of, a control issue across the board.
Definitely.
Well, you're
and I see
you're
that
good.
Wherever I go, and I'm facing it right here myself in Santa Rosa. We live on 8 acres out in the county, and I was telling Aaron when I spoke at the Wairika Tea Party group a few weeks ago, one of the goals of the Agenda 21, they have what they call the General Plan 2020, and the general plan here, which really is going on everywhere, anyone that has a creek on their property, there will be a 100-foot setback on both sides where you will not be able to plow, plant, or even build a fence unless it is a friendly fence, which is only 4 feet tall and 18 inches off the ground. And one of the men speaking out against this at one of the hearings said, that's not a fence, that's a clothesline.
And yeah, no kidding.
I mean, it might keep anyone in or anything out.
Well, we have sheep, and it would keep the sheep in, because I think you could keep sheep in a field with a piece of thread, but, you know, they don't try very hard to get away. But, like goats or something, are you kidding me?
I know.
That's kind of like the border fence.
One of the reasons people build fences is to protect them from predators, including burglars. That wouldn't protect them from any predator.
No, it's kind of like that suggested fence they had on the border when the environmentalists got a hold of it, and it had to have holes in it big enough for a donkey to go through. It's like, I'm sure no people could fit through that, because donkeys are so much exactly the same size as people. What the heck?
They're just really limber.
Really limber, yeah. So, yeah, it's not, I think maybe we need to have the common sense. We need to divide into two teams. We need to forget about all this Republican-Democrat thing, and we need to go people who still have common sense, and then people who let theirs go by the wayside.
Yeah, I think truth.
I agree.
I think truth would be a pretty good way to start with a lot of
this
stuff.
Yeah, but truth is relative. I think common sense will bear itself out. I mean, the clothesline fence, see, you can't make your common sense argument on that.
Well, you know, a lot of this stuff is under this global governance thing is that, oh, it's all for our own good, so we can all be happy and live together. You know, and the real deal is if you're selling snake oil, you don't tell everybody that, you know, it's snake oil. You tell everybody that it's high-grade scotch. You know, I mean, the problem is that they're lying about a lot of this stuff to get their agenda through, and it's not for the good of everybody, you know, like the environmental issues. That's just an end to a means, or a means to an end, I guess, is
exactly
the way to put it. Yeah, so.
And as long as they can attach green to the snake oil, they can sell it.
Yeah, well, actually, it's becoming even more, it's becoming more difficult than they can sell it. They can make you buy it.
Yes, you'll be forced to buy it. That's so true.
Yeah, anymore it's not optional.
Well, just like we are being forced to buy or take, we don't even get to buy them, but forced to take the smart meters on our home with pretending that that's all about saving energy and promoting the green agenda.
My understanding is they're actually lying to us to take them. And the law doesn't actually require that we have them. So, you know, they're doing it under deception as opposed to force, is my understanding. Is that correct?
That is correct. I had Phyllis Schlafly, she's the national president for Eagle Forum, the organization that I represent. I had her son research this for me. His name is John Schlafly, and he is an attorney. And he found the law, and he stated very clearly that the law mandates that all of the public utility commissions provide this for their customers, but the customers get to say yes or no.
So why,
and yet we're not being told that or not.
So why?
Not at all.
What's your opinion on the fact that they're telling us that it's mandatory when it's actually not? I don't understand why PG&E would say that something you have to have when you actually don't by the law. Are they just lying? Are they just irresponsible? I don't understand what's in it for them.
I think a lot of the people who, the employees who work for PG&E, have been told that, and that's what they're telling us when they come to install the meters. But it's actually not even they that install them. They've hired a company called Wellington Electric from back east. And they come with their white trucks, and their people dressed up in Wellington uniforms, so no one has any suspicion that this is PG&E. But these Wellington people tell you, oh, yes, this is mandatory. If you don't go along with it, you'll soon lose your electricity. You'll have to go off the grid. Well, my husband and I refused this back in October. We have a sign on our meter saying, no, please do not install any smart meter on our property. And we've even gone a step farther. We now have a little iron belt that has essentially stapled our meter to our wall and with a lock and key on it, they can't get it off. But anyway, they will force you to have this. Even some people who have a letter stating we refuse to allow a smart meter, they sometimes ignore that and still take your old meter off and put the smart meter on.
Is there any way to get the smart meter off once they've installed it?
Well, we've heard of a few cases where the people have been able, with a doctor's note, saying that this is so affecting their health that they've taken the meter off and put the old analog meter on. But mostly they just ignore you. They ignore your request and say your old meter no longer exists. We've taken it apart and used it for parts. Who knows? But that's why we're recommending people file their own small claims court lawsuit, because we're hoping that if PG&E is inundated by thousands of these, they'll start having to stop doing what they're doing.
And
we're hoping.
And for those people who want more information on this and who are kind of going, what? What's it? How does it work? What's the deal with the smart meter? You can go to nosmartmeters.org and download a really great book. You're going to bring us up copies. I spent $10 and got a copy of this No Smart Meter book. You've added 20 pages to it since then, but I'll print 20 pages. But it's a very long document. You can read it on a PDF file at nosmartmeters.org. Which is
I started writing last October when I first found out about this. That's my curiosity mind. I just, when things don't make sense, I start researching and writing. And it, at first was 50 pages, and then it became 80 pages. I think you got the 80-page variety, and now it's 107 pages. But I've discovered that all of this stems from Agenda 21. It is being mandated for the entire world by the United Nations. So that is why if you go to Europe, you'll find the smart meters are there everywhere. They've implemented this several years ahead of us, and it's and they probably wonder where this is coming from as well, but it's all part of the UN Agenda 21 Smart Growth Plan.
Is it true that they can control the usage of your different appliances in the house that they put the smart meters on? As far as, I mean, I hear the story that in the middle of the day you can't take a hot shower if they decide that, you know, that's not good for, you know, the energy usage at that point in time and things like that. I mean, shutting off your oven. I mean, is that all true or is that all just, you know, hocus-pocus stuff to scare us?
Well, PG&E will tell you it's not true, but where it's been implemented already in Europe, it is true. We've received letters from, email letters from people throughout Europe who report on what has been going on. A couple that moved to Switzerland said that they turned their dishwasher on at noon and the smart meter turned it off and then allowed it to go on with its cycle after the peak time of day was over with.
So what you're saying is the smart meters are dumb?
They really are. I would call them dangerous meters and meters that pry into our lives and control our appliances. But the plan is by the year 2012, which is just a year away, all of the appliances will now have to have RF chips in them so that the smart meter can speak to the appliance. And that's obviously what was going on in Switzerland. The smart meter was able to just turn off their dishwasher.
So maybe we need to rename them as the dumb meters, you know, and change the name.
Well, smart is the new, you know, it's funny. It's kind of laugh. If you live long enough, I think all the words will change their meaning, and as a former English teacher, I find that somewhat difficult.
Isn't that like out of 84 or, you know?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, if you're over a certain age, you remember when the word gay meant happy. And
doesn't?
See, we've now lived long enough that smart doesn't mean smart anymore. So I do think that all these things in time, they grab all these insidious things seem to use words that we know and use. And
so they twist the meanings.
And the meaning is completely universal, and we all know what it means. And then all of a sudden, secretly means something else. I was telling you last night, Orlean, that there's a group here in town pushing back on a development in rural land, and they've called their group Citizens Against Smart Growth or Citizens for Smart Growth. But now smart is bad, so now suddenly their organization, which doesn't have anything to do with smart growth, is labeled as a bad thing.
Well, it's like progressive, you know. I mean, progressive sounds really good because it means we're progressing into the future, into a better way of life. But, you know, that if that means bigger government and less freedom, I'm thinking that's not really progressive.
It's not good.
Yeah.
So you've got a bunch of information for us that we did this exactly backwards from what we talked about. You said you wanted.
Oh, that's all right. I'm flexible.
I'm like, do you want to start with smart meters and go to the big picture, or big picture to smart meters? And you're like, well, I like big picture better. So
it's probably me.
So we completely derailed you. So so that we don't wind up, we have great amounts of time left, which is fantastic. But tell people where you would, you know, start this process for them. We'll get back to the smart meter in the throes of all of this, but before we get into the minutia of smart meter, talk to them about a broader brushstroke that you've done a lot of research on.
All right, I just completed a book that I actually probably was researching for 20 years, and it took me 3 years to write. It's called By Stealth and Deception, USA Transformation and Its Parallel to the European Union. And I discovered that so much that is going on, just like the smart meter, is by stealth and deception. We are not being told the truth about this. So much of it is under the table. And that is the slow movement that's been happening in our nation over the past 100 years, probably even before then. But my book mainly deals with the past 100 years, how we have been slowly moved towards a socialist nation. And now with Obama, we are on fast track. In fact, I call it a plunge to socialism because he has caused this momentum to go so much faster. And then the second part of my book is about the parallel to the European Union. My husband is from Germany, and we know the amazing difference that has now taken place in Germany because of their belonging to the European Union, as well as the 27 other countries that belong to it. But before this could take place, all of these countries had to be somewhat on the same socialist page. So it was not such an enormous transformation for them to move to this union. And I believe that that's one of the plans and the goals for the United States being moved to socialism, is so that we can better conform with our neighboring nations of Canada and Mexico, so that someday we can form a union with them. And this has been in the works for a long time. They've just really put that one under the table now and tried to hide it, but I think they're going to resurrect it eventually as well. They never give up on bad ideas. They just hide them for a while and then resurrect them.
And it'll be super handy when there are no, you know, because there are no borders. So when you start looking at that kind of a bigger picture, it makes perfect sense.
Why
the obvious answer of closing the borders seems to be the answer that we never choose.
Who's going to be in charge of this whole thing? That's my question. If we've got this thing going here, I mean, who ends up running the show? Is there, you know, a group of people? Do we just all bond together in one big happy kumbaya or what?
Well, I believe it is still being mandated by the United Nations. I know this goal is also to make the United Nations appear really weak and silly, and so no one will pay much attention to them. But they really are obviously very powerful. The reasons we have been so transformed also is because of these United Nations treaties that we have been forced to go on to. Most of the environmental wackyism that has happened in our nation is because of our signing on to these UN treaties. And I have a whole chapter in my book about all of these treaties and how they have transformed our nation. So I believe that is still who will be in charge. And at the end of my book, I actually show a new constitution that has been rewritten, allowing all of the nations of the world to be under the UN and making it appear it will be just one happy, wonderful kumbaya constitution.
Yikes.
It's going to be a very different form of government than we can ever imagine. And that's been in the works for some time. I also show a map in my book where this goal to transform us into unions was back at the time of FDR in 1942. They had already had a map of the world dividing the world into 10 regions and two unions. And we have the United States of the Americas, which includes Greenland, as well as Canada, the United States, Mexico, and all of South America is another big union. And then, of course, the European Union is already formed. The Union of Russia will eventually come back. It was there for a while under the Soviet Union. And then they have an Asian Union. They have an African Union. And it is amazing, if you Google unions, which I did, so many of these are already being formed, and their goal is to have them totally formed by 2015. And that's the other thing I discovered. We not only have this movement towards forming a North American Union of Mexico, Canada, the United States, but the United States is also forming a union with the European Union all on our own, and that's called the Transatlantic Network. And that is supposed to be totally in place by the year 2015. And it's kind of going to be based on a common market with the UN, with the European Union, just as the European Union was formed by forming this common market with the other countries, just as we have formed NAFTA with Canada, Mexico, and the United States. NAFTA was the inroad to start forming this union. So they first form a free trade agreement, a common market, whatever they're calling it, and then it is coupled on with all these government regulations and organizations above, and pretty soon you have a union. So it's amazing what I have discovered in the process of writing this book.
Well, gee, it's kind of interesting. I just took your advice, and I did a little search here, and I came up with global unions. It was the second option on the page, and on one corner here, getting the world to work, green growth for jobs and social justice.
Isn't that amazing?
Gee whiz, that agenda's not very clear. I'm kind of confused. What do you think they're really doing?
Well, they keep using the excuse of the environment. That is the big fear tactic to get us to all go along with this. And due to the fact our public schools has been promoting this agenda for probably 30 years that I have seen as a substitute teacher. It's amazing how far along our children are to accepting this. And then they graduate from high school, go into college, and they get more green indoctrination. So they come out so paranoid, thinking the world is going to fall apart unless we form a big world government to save everything. And you cannot have nation states because nation states are so greedy and in competition with each other. And that's why we have wars. And the best thing we can do is get rid of the nation states. Then we won't have wars anymore. And we can all have a happy big world government.
I was going to say, I think that part of the problem is that, you know, why not socialism is kind of the deal with the kids. They come out of school and they've been told that socialism is a good thing. And, you know, we're wondering, why is it not a good thing? I mean, that's part of the question here. Why isn't this one world government or the bigger government or control of more things in the world through socialism not a good thing? I think what they neglect to tell everybody is the end result of where it usually ends up, with a lot of power consolidated in the hands of a few. And then it typically over time, if you look back in history, when socialism typically always ends up in communism with a dictator of some sort, and then things go really bad.
That is so true. And if you look at some of the old dictionaries, I looked at the World Book Dictionary from 1980s. It actually describes socialism as leading to communism, and it gives descriptions of what socialism is like, as well as communism, and does not paint a rosy picture. But the modern Webster Dictionary, it's just amazing. You look up communism, and it essentially just says where everyone shares together.
Yeah, I don't think you can find one example in history where it ends up good. That's the problem I'm having with it.
Mm-hmm.
No, but the amazing other thing is how teachers are promoting it and saying, you know, if you have the right form of government, then it will work just fine. I told a class in the seventh grade, I had a long-term position teaching there for almost a semester before they got their full-time teacher, and I was telling them how someday they are going to hear a teacher come in and tell them that communism is the best form of government, it just has a hard time being implemented. But once you have the right kind of leadership, then everything will work just fine. Well, the teacher that was going to take my place visited the classroom that very day, and I had up on the board, I would always write for their journal entry a quotation that I thought was profound, rather than asking them how their weekend was.
Didn't want to know.
Right. I would write some profound quotation, and I would things like, to thine own self be true, and it shall follow as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to anyone. And I would ask them if anyone knew where that was from, and usually they didn't, so I was able to explain what Hamlet was all about from Shakespeare. And one I had about, what a tangling web I weave when at first I practiced to deceive. And they were supposed to put these quotes in their book and then write a paragraph after explaining what it meant to them. There was not one of my seventh grade classes, one student out of five classes, who knew what the word deceive meant.
Oh, wow.
That shows how dumbed down our vocabulary has become.
The quote that comes to mind for me is by Lenin, Useful Idiots.
Yes, that's the truth. Anyway, when I explain what deceive meant, it's like telling lies. And once you start to tell a lie, then you have to support it with all these tangling lies, and you end up with a huge web, and you could see all the little heads nodding. But anyway, my quote for the day when this teacher arrived was, from those according to their ability, to those according to their need.
Ooh.
And I explained where this came from. And
wasn't that Spock in Star Trek?
That's right. And I explained what communism was all about, and how someday they were going to hear a teacher say, in spite of how bad it was, and they're not even being taught anything how bad it was, and the evils of Russia and the millions and millions of people that were killed because of communism. That's all whitewashed now. But I told them, and I told them our visit to East Germany after it had been taken over by communism, and just how devastating it was. But anyway, I had that up on the board. The teacher, the new teacher that was going to be taking over, arrived, and she saw that up there, and she said, "Oh, I am so glad that you are teaching the children about communism. Isn't it nice that we now know what we know, that communism really is the best form of government? It just has a hard time being implemented."
Yeah.
And all the little mouths of the children dropped open. And I realized they don't even have to wait till high school or college to hear this anymore. They're going to hear it from their new teacher.
Yeah, I guess where do we look for that shining example? Che Guevara or Lenin? Or I mean, where do we go to find that?
Mao was a great guy.
Stalin, Hitler. I mean, where do we go to find the shining example of a virtue from a communistic ruler?
So she was right on track with what you had warned him about.
She was, and I told her, "Well, I'm sorry, I've actually taught the children a totally different concept, that this is not a good thing." And so when she stayed during the noon hour, I told her my experiences visiting East Germany, but obviously her mind was already made up. She looked at me like I was something from Mars, and I discovered later from one of the parents of the children, because their journals were so full of these wonderful moral truths, she took them all and never gave them back to them.
Wow.
Isn't that awful?
Wow, no agenda there.
No agenda.
No, hardly any agenda, maybe. Wow.
Well, this reminds me of a story. I had one of a sister-in-law who was Russian. My sister used to be married to a Russian. And I went to school with her, and she was really sold on how Russia was doing really well, and she had relatives over there, and you know, she kept telling me how great it was. And she went over and visited over in Kiev one time, and when she came back, she was completely disillusioned, because she said that she thought they were all doing well. They didn't look like they were hungry or anything. She said it cost a full month's pay to get a pair of Levi's under the communist system, because it stifles production incentives so much that pretty soon the goods and services just start to, not become available more and more as time goes by.
That's really the truth. And I had told the children that illustration. I said, "Now, if you follow this motto, from those according to their ability to those according to their needs, the grades had just come out.
If we were
under a communist system, I would take from Freddie here, who got an A+ because he worked so hard, and I would lower his grade to a C."
Isn't that redistribution of the wealth?
I would take little Johnny's grade that was an F because he didn't do anything, and I would raise it to a C. And I said, "Now, if this were really true, how would that make you feel, Freddie? Would you want to work any harder the next semester?" And he said, "No, I wouldn't work at all. I would think that's horrible. My grade has just been lowered." And I said to Johnny, "And if this had happened to you, would that make you work harder to raise your grade on your own?" He said, "No, I think I would have a free ride, and I'd just go on not doing anything." And I said, "That's how the communist system works, and it lowers the productivity of a nation, because everyone thinks, well, I'm not being rewarded for hard work, and I'm just going to relax and have a free ride like the other people." And you're right, it does lower the productivity, and people have no incentive also when they no longer can own private property. Private property ownership gives you a pride in your work and a pride in what you're doing, and you are given rewards for your efforts. It's the old motto of you reap what you sow. People that don't own property have no idea what that motto is, and they're just willing to take from those who have and go on in life.
The way I had it explained to me one time that I thought was really simple and, you know, in understanding is that socialism or communism takes a pie and splits it up equally between everybody, so everybody gets a little bit of a slice. And capitalism or freedom, free enterprise, whatever you want to call it, makes more pies. So you, in a socialist government, it's limited what the resources, and they become more and more limited. In a capitalist society, they keep producing more and more, so our standard of living goes up on one side and down on the other.
That's a very good illustration. I like that.
I'm looking at the Global Union's website still. My eyes are bugging out. Here we have the Global Union Federations. Federation's a bad word, too. They seek to build international cooperation, joint action, and global solidarity among trade unions in different countries that share common employers. There's a global trade union recognition by multinational enterprises at the headquarters level and beyond for all the work they do. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, how many people that are in a union know this? know that they're potentially just, you know, I would imagine some people, they sell it to them and they think, oh, this is great, I could work anywhere in the world. But what they don't understand is that their standard of living will now be measured by these companies' footprint in a third world country. Because you look at somebody, Africa was in here, some African company, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, if your trade union is working on that standard, you're doomed.
Well, while we've been following the tenets of freedom early on in the history of our country, that's why we became the wealthiest country in the world. For quite a few years, we've been following the other side's program, and you can start to see our standard of living declining more and more as this program gets further along.
That's really the truth. I also wanted to comment on what Aaron just said. I discovered that once these unions begin to form, then the European Union comes in and forms some kind of a network with them and begins to really begin exercise more control over them and almost forces them to finish this union that they begin to form. That's what happened in the Caribbean, and I write about this in my book. And they tell about the big bully practices that were being forced upon them by the EU. So you can see that there's obviously an agenda behind all of this.
It's interesting
I'm glad
how
you
many
discovered that.
Yeah, I mean, and all I did was I just typed unions. I didn't even type global unions. And my very, you know, the third thing was and then if you read down, you know, in the search criteria, how unions help all workers. Isn't that magic? You know, they set a pay standard. You know, they reduce wage inequity. It's all about everything being the same. And I'll tell you what, anybody who's ever been good at anything knows that everybody is not the same.
We're all created equal. That doesn't mean we're all equal.
But I mean, some people are smarter than other people.
That's
some people
saying.
Are more musical than other people.
Some people work harder. Yeah.
Well, this whole equity thing, as you will discover, is also part of Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. They have the three E's. Have you read that information, Aaron?
Oh, I did read that, but you'll have to tell them because I marked it and I've got a whole bunch of tabs inside
okay,
this book.
The three E's. The first one is equity, and this is, of course, social justice, social equity, that all people are supposed to be equal. And then the next one is economic, so that's the next E. And that's essentially take from those who have and give to those who have not, redistribution of wealth. And the third E is environment or ecology. And that essentially means animals have more rights than humans and lowering the rights of humans. So all three of these are really lowering our individual rights. Individual rights don't mean anything anymore. And they love to use the word for the common good. And they, of course, they get to determine what the common good is. We don't have the intelligence that they have to know what the common good is.
The thing that's funny, too, is this all depends on standards, I guess. You know, if you just use the word standards loosely, and anybody who's ever had an employee or hired someone to come do work at their house or something knows that we don't all have the same standards for what quality work is. Some of those
exactly.
Some of those are different. I have Mike S. on our chat window here, and I was dawdling and I wasn't reading the chat window. I just clicked back on here, and he says 90% of my family are teachers. They all confirm what this lady is saying.
Wow.
So you've got for the people out there that are thinking, I wonder if that's even true. Well,
look it up.
Yep. Apparently, Mike's family is telling us that that's true. My mom used to teach in the public schools, and I need to ask her about this because she just retired, like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And my sister teaches currently, but she is in a private school, so she gets to do all sorts of different things that public school doesn't get to do. So I do think that it does start there, and there are always people that, well, okay, all the people in our group always say the same thing. You know, how are we going to make inroads into the school? What are we going to do? And I guess, I don't know. That seems like the long way around the horn. We've got to get the grown-ups on board first.
Right, absolutely.
Well, it's so difficult because the teachers maybe grew up in a nice conservative home where they were taught these conservative values and ideals, but then they go to the universities, and there is just so much indoctrination. Plus, if they want to get a good job. Sometimes they have to go along with the grants, and to get these grants, they have to go along with the prescribed environmental wackyism that's being taught. They have to go along with political correct teachings, and sometimes even keep their job, they do.
I know we spoke with a couple of professors here at Shasta College and another one at another school, and they said, you know, if in fact you don't toe the line on this, you wind up being a, well, they don't call it visiting or substitute, but you don't actually get a full-time position.
Huh. You won't get tenure.
Yeah, but it wasn't even that. You weren't even given...
You've been ostracized, basically.
Yeah, you really weren't given a full complement of courses to even move yourself toward tenure. It was kind of not one of the choices. All right,
well,
let's see. We're in...
Well, that is one of the reasons why when we moved to California, I was a certified teacher in Idaho, where I taught full-time until I had my third child and decided, I think I need to become a full-time mother now. And then I took a long leave of absence and ended up with 6 children. And so when my youngest was in
my parents
the sixth
took that
grade,
same leave of absence. They had the same.
Yes.
They had the same result. Hey, hold that thought. We've got to fire off here and listen to the news and some stuff like that. But we will be back with Orlean on smart meters and all that goes with it. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. We must have been down on the corner and out in the street. We had a little fumble on the play there. We're all out there talking. It's like 20 seconds. So we all come racing back in. So I hope everybody had a nice little break there. And we were just talking to Bob out there, and he was saying that that he felt the smart meters were being deployed because we hadn't been responsible with our power usage. So this was sort of like their way to get us all in line. What do you say to that, Orlean?
Oh, I think they will use that excuse for anything they would like. That's why we can't drill for oil. We haven't been responsible with our use of oil. I do not believe that is true at all. I think they have a totally different agenda. And in my book about the smart meters, I write about a book that was published in 1932 called Technocracy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is back under FDR. And FDR and all those in his globalist mindset were planning someday of having technology so far advanced that they would be able to have a 24-hour surveillance of our homes and so control our use of energy. And that's exactly what the smart meter does.
That is, that's fantastic. Gee, that's what everybody wanted. Uh-oh, we're having some feedback issues. Did we get that? Are we good?
I think I just got rid of it. It's okay.
Is it
all right now?
There we go. Yeah. So we're back in charge. Technocracy was an idea, a book, or
yes, this was back under FDR, and it was amazing, man, that he would be a great guest on your program. He's also a good friend of Michael Kaufman. His name is Patrick Wood, and he writes. He has a website called The August Review. I'm not sure why he chose that name. Maybe he thinks we are in the August of our years in these last days. But anyway, he is really good about these globalist issues. And he wrote an excellent article about the technocracy and allowed me to put it in my booklet. And it's amazing how similar their goals back then were for what is now happening with the smart meter. The 24-hour surveillance, the control that they will have over our use of our energy, our own appliances. And you had mentioned, or Mark had asked, will they really be able to do that? We already heard from Barbara Simpson, who has a radio program on KSFO Saturday and Sunday evening. She was in England traveling and staying at a hotel, and there was no way that she could turn the water up on the shower, and found out that that was all under the smart grid, the smart meter program. They kept all the water really low. So they can essentially do whatever they want to once they have control over your appliances through this smart meter program.
Doesn't that mean that our power bills will go down?
That's what they're telling us, but you cannot believe how many people are experiencing just the opposite. We have a lady here in Santa Rosa who her power bill tripled once she got the smart meter, and it continues to triple, and she just refuses to pay the bills. She said, "Oh, this is ridiculous. It couldn't possibly be the truth," and we've heard that from so many people. So obviously something is not working correctly.
Gosh, this would be a great way to get some money out of all of us and say, I don't know, give it to some other people because we're not being fair.
Exactly. Take from those who have and give to those who have not. And the other amazing thing that we just found out, and I was able to put it in this latest edition of the book, a whistleblower that works for PG&E, oh, not for PG&E, for Southern California Edison. He's an employee that installs these meters and is really upset about them. He said that he's discovered every 500 to 600 houses, a super large smart meter is being installed on someone's home. And that one is now collecting data from all the other homes around it in that 500 home radius. And so it is a super global smart meter. It collects the data and then sends it on to the Southern California Edison collection spot, as PG&E has something similar. And here, as in Santa Rosa, they are using, they install kind of a little tower to collect that data. But maybe where the cities have just underground cable, it would be too suspicious to suddenly have a tower erected. I think they're putting it on a telephone pole now in places where they already exist. But that was really amazing to find that out. And I've heard from people who have super health problems, and they've asked for experts to come. They've discovered that they have a super powerful smart meter that is acting as the collection spot for all the others. And why are these people chosen? According to this whistleblower, they're chosen to have the super smart meter because they were such good customers and always pay their bills on time.
And that's who gets to get the giant super collector.
Yes. So that's what you get for being a good customer.
Wow.
Well, I like to always look at the bright side of things. Isn't this going to be kind of good for us? Because if our power triples, our power bills triple, that means we'll have, especially people on fixed income, a lot less money to buy food, which means we could go on a diet. And so we could think of this as like a gym membership.
Yeah, this will be implementing Michelle Obama's plan.
We brought Mark on.
Get our obesity.
Yeah, I could lose 10 pounds here, no problem.
We've got our official spin doctor going here.
Well, you know, the other amazing thing is if you Google Agenda 21 and population control, it's amazing how many websites come up. These people are not even hiding their agenda anymore. They really believe the world is overpopulated and we must decrease population. And what a good way to do it, by zapping us with the radiation that's coming from these smart meters in our homes.
Well, I had sent you that list last night that I forwarded out about the ICLEI, they call it Local Government for Sustainability, but in 1990 it was founded as the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. For people who
That's right. We refer to it as ICLEI.
ICLEI. So for people who are unfamiliar with that term, here's ICLEI. And bottom line is 550 communities in North America are paying membership dues to ICLEI. Members are then governed by the ICLEI Charter. And this is where we're going to talk about your place down there in Sonoma County, because your cities all went down for the count on this one. But the principles, I think people would be like, well, what does that have to do with anything? And, you know, why is that a bad thing? Well, let's see. The association shall, this is in their principles. The association shall promote and ask its individual members to adopt the following Earth Charter principles to guide local action. Like, huh? Earth Charter? I guess God's out. We're going to respect Earth and life in all its diversity. We're going to care for the community of life with understanding, compassion, and love. You know, I'm already, sorry, just feeling nauseated. Build democratic societies that are just, participatory, sustainable, and peaceful. So if that doesn't worry you, you skipped to principle number 7 for the charter here. adopt patterns of production, consumption, and reproduction that safeguard Earth's regenerative capacities and human rights and community well-being. It's like, reproduction? Can you say China?
Exactly.
I mean, this is a charter that they want our communities to be part of so that they can get grants from the Strategic Growth Council and other outfits like that so they can meet the needs of Assembly Bill 32, which would be California's cap and trade. But here we have, I like principle number 9, too. Eradicate poverty as an ethical, social, and environmental imperative. Poverty is an environmental imperative now?
And amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible. And then we're going to have some gender equality, of course, and a universal access to economic opportunity. But we don't really know who determines what the opportunity is. So it's kind of like soccer. Everybody gets a trophy now, even if you didn't do anything. And we're going to uphold the rights of all. See, now we have all this equality going on. But see, in principle number 12, we have a special attention. It will be given to the rights of indigenous peoples and minorities. Gosh, that doesn't sound like equality to me.
No, not at all.
No, and so we're going to, you know, pledge allegiance to the earth here, and this is what our cities are signing on for. I mean, just in California, let me scurry down to the California list so people can go, I think she's crazy. No, not so much.
Out of those 550 cities, is that what you said? I think there's more than 100 of those are in California.
Oh, exactly.
That's amazing.
Alameda, Albany, American Canyon, Antioch, Belvedere, Benicia, Berkeley, Beverly Hills, Burlingame. Those are just the bees.
That's right.
So we go all the way down.
And then you go to Sonoma County.
Yeah.
Every single city in our county is a member of this. And that's, you know, quite a bit. We have the esteemed honor of being the county in our nation that has the most cities that are part of ICLEI and part of this sustainable development communities, which this is promoting. And then you find out why. Well, one of our members of the Board of Supervisors, Valerie Brown, is a member of the National Board of ICLEI. So I'm sure she has had something to do with promoting this. And then our county itself is a member of this. So we've got Sonoma County and every one of our towns. We've got Calistoga, Cloverdale, Petaluma, Sonoma, Santa Rosa, Runner Park, and Windsor, all members of ICLEI. Isn't that amazing?
So, isn't this all good for us, though? I mean, global prosperity and no poverty and rainbows and lollipops. And
don't forget puppies.
Oh, yeah. Nice warm puppies.
Everybody likes puppies.
Yeah, this is all good.
And lots of bicycle paths everywhere, and get us out of our cars and have short rails.
Less food.
And stack us and pack us, and so they can have absolute control over our lives. And these sustainable communities, they don't seem to want to create garages for your homes.
Rabbit hutches don't need garages, Orlean. Come on. If you're going to live in a rabbit hutch, you don't need a garage.
But I'm sure these guys have our best interest in mind. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, they're saying all the right things. I mean, you know, this is all for our own good and, you know, for a global community. And I'm just wondering, you know, who's funding all of this stuff? Where's all this money coming from and flowing to? I mean,
The cities get to pay ICLEI to belong. Isn't that nice? So our taxpaying dollars is paying for this.
Yeah, I super like that part.
And if this is all good, why is this so stealthy?
Isn't that amazing? Yes, why is all of this going on by stealth? That's why I wrote the title of my book, By Stealth and Deception. And they have such deceptive ways of bringing this about. One of those is called the Delphi Technique. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I have, but did I read about it, or you talked about it in something?
It was actually mentioned in that CD that
That's why I heard it.
From Rosa Corey. But I've been in those meetings where the Delphi Technique is used, and they have a skilled facilitator who is very well trained and knows exactly what he's doing. They have people invited to come, or they even put it in the newspaper and invite you all to come. And then they divide you into little groups, and inside each little group is a skilled facilitator. And they have some preconceived goals and objectives, and through these very skilled facilitators, they move you towards those and make it appear that it is your own idea. And then you are so much more willing to go along with it because, Yes, this is, these are the goals that we came up with ourselves. So that is called the Delphi technique. It was developed by the RAND Corporation back in the 1960s, how to manipulate people to a preconceived concept, and that's what they're doing. So people say, well, how would a city sign on to such a thing? They do it through this very skilled facilitator, through the Delphi technique, and people are like, of course, we all want a greener city, and we want bicycle paths, and we want all these wonderful things, not knowing what it's going to really do to them and the freedoms and liberties it's going to take away.
Wow.
That is not explained in the process.
For the people who are out there going, oh my gosh, I wonder if my town's in on this thing, very, very easy. You can, let's see, your quickest route is to go to the Reading Tea Party website, and under the heading of issues, you will see ICLEI and Agenda 21. I'm just loading a document on there now called ICLEI and Your Town. And you click on that, you can get the full list of all of it and the charter with all of its fabulous principles. So awesome. You know, poverty is an environmental imperative. That's just terrific. And we're going to protect
what
what's
so interesting about that, they're using this now as to replace the Ten Commandments. The Earth Charter is carried around in an ark, just like the Ten Commandments used to be carried around in the Ark of the Covenant.
Really?
So is this like
this is the new religion of Earth worshiping.
Well,
and the people that created the Earth Charter were Michael Strong and Michelle Gorbachev, and these are elitists that truly believe in global government and. That's what's really behind all of this as well.
Isn't this all theory, though? I mean, you know, we hear about conspiracies and theory and ooh-ah, you know, but isn't this just theory, or is there actually facts behind all of this?
There are facts behind all of this, and what is so wonderful about your website that Erin has created, she has all those facts. I was so impressed. I took a look at your website last night and just was blown away.
Well, there's here, Principle 14. You guys are going to like this one. Integrate into formal education and lifelong learning the knowledge, values, and skills needed for a sustainable way of life. Now, in a nutshell, sustainable is also evil. But how would you, if somebody said, well, why is sustainable bad, what would you tell them, Orlean?
Well, they say sustainable development is really the other word for Agenda 21. And really, when you examine it, nothing is going to be sustainable. They are clamping down on our use of resources, our use of water, our use of our own transportation, and then development, nothing is going to be developed. So it's just an oxymoron. It's just opposite of what.
But that's what you guys are seeing in your town, right? Is that out where you are with your 8 acres, that was the first that was really the first thing that you saw, was how much it was going to affect rural land.
That's right.
You might want to share with people that some of that story.
It's not only what they were doing with 100-foot setbacks on our creeks. We discovered they were also going to monitor and meter and eventually tax all of our wells. That was like 50,000 wells in Sonoma County, and I formed an organization to fight this called the Sonoma County Land Rights Coalition, and we were able to, we had a group of us that would attend every planning commission meeting. They'd never had an audience before, and we were taking careful notes, and then we would alert all of our members. So when it came to the well issue, we were able to, we had probably about 250 people there, outraged, and so they dropped that issue. It's no longer part of the general plan, but it could always come up again. But the other one was they had all these maps with circles on them, and you looked at the map of your property, and you saw all these little circles drawn, and you asked, what do these circles mean? And they said, well, the circles mean that you have the possibility of endangered species on your land.
That's not good.
Well, did someone actually come on our property and see those endangered species? No, it's just a possibility of endangered habitat. But just that possibility lowers your property value. So before you could actually sell your property, you would have to have some way of clearing those circles off your land. And we noticed adjacent to our land is the Little League baseball field for our part of Santa Rosa, Rincon Valley. And there were circles on that, and I pointed out to them, you know, I don't think any of these Little League people are going to be happy at all to see that their property is now possible endangered species habitat. I've heard it said that environmental science is an art science. They just draw their statistics down from the sky. They have no really facts to back up anything, but they are so powerful they don't need the facts. They can go on using their silly statistics and their silly circles. And it's all part of the plan to get you off your land. And if people who have actually tried to fight this end up in such lawsuits that they eventually have to sell their land to the cheapest person, the cheapest price as well. And anyway, the other thing I discovered was sustainable development inside our city of Santa Rosa with the redevelopment district coming in. Are you familiar with that?
Well, hopefully redevelopment monies will be going away at the hands of Jerry Brown. That would be kind of neat because that actually kind of cuts the legs out from under some of these programs. The one thing I wanted to add there before we leave the concept of lawsuits, for people who live on rural land and know that they're just going to get, you know, filleted by all this stuff, there is a guy here locally, actually, who has partnered with Lloyd's of London and created an insurance policy. It's called the Agricultural Regulatory Services, TARS, T-A-R-S. You can go to www.protectedbytars.org. You can find that if you click on the Issues tab of the ReadingTeaParty.com website. But you'll see the Agricultural Regulatory Services, and they actually insure you against this environmental overreach. So if you wind up having to sue the government for your water rights or this, that, or the other, and the policies are starting down around $150, so it's not like it's $1 zillion. The idea was to help landowners protect their ground. So that might be something you could forward out to folks in your area, Orlene.
Yes, I'm really glad to find that out. I had no idea. I like Lloyd's of London.
Listen, you guys have just given me too many facts. I don't want facts now. I want to get back to feelings. See, can you guys give me the lollipop and rainbow thing again? Because, you know, I mean, that just makes me feel a lot better. Rainbows, wishes, that kind of thing.
Yes, the facts are kind of scary, aren't they, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be disillusioned with puppy dogs and rainbows and that kind of thing, because I just feel better when I'm, you know.
Back to reality. The issues tab also under ICLEI and Agenda 21 has a note there. It says, has your town used tax dollars to join ICLEI and usher in Agenda 21? And that's where you'll find the list of all of your towns and find out if Reading's not on it, by the way, just for all the people that are going, is Reading on it? they're not on it. But you know what? They're not on it because hopefully we're on the watch. But we've really got to help. A lot of our public officials don't know. They hear sustainable development. These guys come with grants. They've got a plan. They do a lot of the footwork, and that is really, really helpful. They're pushed for money. They're pushed for all this regulation. And these guys come in with such a good package, it looks like it's really helping.
So what you're saying is that they can bribe us out of our freedom.
But it doesn't look like that. It looks like they're helping. I mean, how do you
sell bribery and confiscation of private property? I guess you sell rainbows and lollipops.
Well, I think I'm just going to say something really politically incorrect. That's probably why child molesters, you know, have a lot of candy. You know, it's like, would you like some candy? That's kind of the same.
No hidden agenda there.
Kind of the same program.
Yeah.
Although not very politically correct, which we kind of don't care about. True nonetheless. We have Paige online, too, who has, I don't know, a comment or a question. Hi, Paige.
Hello, how are you?
What do you have for us?
Oh, I was just wondering, your guest, great show, your guest from Santa Rosa, I'm sure that her body of interest can relate to the Dr. Bill Wattenberg program on KGO, San Francisco Talk Radio.
Yes,
and
I like him. He's the only one on KGO I listen to.
Oh, what a fabulous individual. He's done there. He's been there, done that. And for scientific fact about the Air Quality Control Board in California, where all these diesel trucks are having to refit and driving the small little dump trucker out of business, this is ridiculous. Your program's fabulous. Tea Party program yesterday morning with Pete Peters. Awesome. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. But go back to this Bill Wattenberg's, anybody listening, go back to Bill Wattenberg, KGO. He's got a web page that'll just astound you.
Yeah, he's on weekends on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 1. I do listen to him, and I have made comments online, and I'll probably be back there tonight talking about the Siskiyou Crest Monument. That's a whole other subject we want to get into now. But, yeah, we're kind of attacking that, and I've already talked to Wattenberg about it.
Oh, fantastic, because he's right here. He's in, been in the construction business.
He's a brilliant man. I mean, he's been involved with, Livermore Lab, just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he's
rocket scientist.
Weapon systems. Yeah. He knows where the fat is in the government. There's no reason we have to raise taxes. All we have to do is start cutting the fat.
Perfect. Well,
and great show. You guys keep up the good work, and thank Pete Peters. I'm a personal friend of his. Great job.
So, he's not actually connected to this program, but I'm sure he'll hear that. And just want you guys to know we'll connect the Bill Wattenberg archives to the website. I'm not sure what they look like or how to link them, but I'll do it. So keep your eyeballs open under the Issues tab, and we'll put that on there. Thanks, Paige.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, that's very
all right,
good.
Bye.
Another really good program to listen to in our area, and I don't know if you can get that, is KSFO. And Brian Sussman comes on from 5 in the morning till 9 o'clock. He is to be a weatherman, and he's written a wonderful book called Climate Gate that exposes the whole fabrication and lies behind global warming and all the CO2 scares that are going on. He has a chapter that deals with the smart grid and smart meters that's very well done as well. He would be also a great guest to have on your program.
This is terrific. This is like a welcome to KCNR, the networking show. We're just going to pull everybody together. But see, that's kind of how it goes. You find a resource, then you find another resource, and not everybody learns the same way. So for some people, they really grab a hold of this idea of socialism creeping in and really where that's going to go. And other people, that's still a little far-fetched for them. But I figure, well, if we keep connecting the dots of things, then pretty soon all these things that seem disconnected, seems like people are being hit with so many things at the same time. And yet, when you really, really step away from it and look at it from a distance, it's all the same stuff.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that's going on here is everybody's being divided. You know, it's the blacks against the whites, the Republicans against the Democrats, you know, the poor against the rich, the haves not. And the real deal is that we're all in this together, and we need to pull together and coalesce to a common problem here that we're being lied to about. And that's the real deal, is that as long as we are kept apart on these issues that, you know, I think we're all basically for the same thing, which is freedom and quality of life and family and those type of things, but we're being misled in a lot of cases as to how do we achieve those ends. And so we've got to stop fighting amongst ourselves and start getting on the same page.
That is what is so wonderful about this smart meter issue. It is getting people on the left and the right working together like they've never worked together before. In fact, as we are out holding up signs protesting in front of the Wellington trucks that are the ones that come and they use the word deploy, the smart meters, that's a military term. I don't know why they chose that term. But anyway, we're standing out there with our signs protesting, and next to us are these flaming liberals that we would have never been doing such a thing with before. And it's the first time many of them have ever met an honest-to-goodness conservative or a Republican, and they actually like us. And
they're finding out that all the stuff they've heard is not necessarily true.
That's right. They find out that we believe in the same things they do, and the same with us. And several of them came to the Tea Party meeting that was here a week or two ago about the smart meter panels. There were three members of the panel, and they did a wonderful job presenting this information. And there were several of these very liberal people that were there to listen, and they told us never would we have ever dared come to a Tea Party meeting before. And one even came back the next week. She was so impressed.
See, that's and that's the beauty of it.
It is exciting to see people working together.
Absolutely.
I think that's the beauty of the whole thing, and I think that's the best part about the smart meter issue, because it does give us the opportunity to open that dialogue, and we're far enough in advance of all the big battle in 2012 to finally make a little bit of common ground. And you never know, when it comes to these crazy initiatives and stuff that come down the pipeline, we may be able to actually have a little more influence than we normally would. We've got Sally online too. She's got a question or a comment for us. Hi, Sally.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that in today's paper, or this week's paper, the Turtle Bay is running a special program from February to April this year, called Sustainable Choices, the ability to meet and present present-day needs without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. Isn't that nice?
Gosh, that's fantastic.
Yes, that's the definition they like to give of sustainable, to meet the needs of the future for the present generation. And, you know, of course, it's totally false information given out, but it sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Sounds like rainbows and lollipops again. I like that. I like this part.
We're back to those rainbows and lollipops again.
Keeps leaving out the puppies, though. It's kind of starting to bug me.
I just thought it was interesting that it's infiltrating even our community up here.
Big time. Well, and that goes from what, February to April?
February to April, yes.
that's a long time to protest.
Maybe you can be so well prepared with information that you can stop it and go to your city council and let them know what Agenda 21 Sustainable Development is really all about.
We did have the Sustainable Development people there Tuesday night at City Council, and they were doing a thing on, they've got to meet all the air quality standard stuff, you know, all this AB 32. And yes. One of our city councilmen actually said, well, that's kind of ridiculous, don't you think? I mean, what are we going to just stop driving cars? Is everyone just going to stop living in their houses? I mean, he asked some fairly pointed questions and just shook his head. He goes, this is ridiculous. So hopefully, and we've been reaching out to all the members of our boards of supervisors and our city council and anybody who knows anybody who's making any decisions, especially people who sit on all the boards and commissions around here. I guess that was Sally. Bye, Sally. Thanks for calling. We were just leaving you on there. I haven't gotten the hang of that. Bring people on and then...
Yeah, I know. We start talking.
Yeah, then we wander off and they go, well, I guess I'll hang up now. Sorry. We did so good with the first one. We got Paige and then we dropped Sally. We'll do better.
Practice
makes perfect. So, okay. When you had your smart meter panel... Did you have people who were all giving you different facets about the smart meter, or did you have people actually come and advocate for them?
Well, we invited PG&E to be part of it. They refused to be there. But we had this amazing scientist, his name is Rod Strait, that was the one that you'll see who put out the video called The Dark Side of Smart Meter.
Oh, okay.
And he was phenomenal. We also had an attorney who helped create the information, what we should do to fight this. He gives you some wonderful pointers that are all in my book about filing a small claims court lawsuit. He was excellent. And then there was another man who was an engineer. And, of course, they mainly just gave the factual scientific information about this, how bad it was for our health as well as how bad it was for the violation of our property rights and privacy rights. And it was interesting, this Rod is the one that found the information about how they are collecting data, and he believes this will be sold to the highest bidder. He said that when you look at the history of what's been going on, they now have every piece of merchandise, including food, with a barcode on them. So that lets everyone know what product is being sold. Now when you have a Safeway card or a Costco card or whatever other card you have, that lets them know who is buying that item with the barcode on it. Now when you have the smart meter, they will be able to have the third step of this information that they need to further spread their goals, and that is to let them know exactly who is using that barcoded product, what time of day, in what home, for how, what amount of time. So whoever sells you your curling iron or your blow dryer, they will know exactly who is using it and for how long. And he thinks that this is just an amazing tool of collecting data, and it can then be sold to the highest bidder. Some people would pay a lot of money to know how their merchandise is being used in the home. Isn't that amazing?
Exactly. Well, it you know, I mean, that's what goes on with, gosh, they even track, you know, how many people listen to the radio and how many people watch TV programs and when is the best time to advertise. I mean, a lot of that is how we compete in the free market. And yet, if you're really data mining people at the most basic level, like when you wash your clothes, you know, when have we crossed the line?
What kind of an appliance you're using?
Yeah.
I was thinking that maybe they won't even need to conduct a census anymore. Every 10 years they'll have this information. The other scary parts are they will also know if you're on vacation. They'll know that no one is using anything in that home. Obviously, they must be gone for a while. And what a nice time for some burglary to take place.
Geez, I never thought about that.
I just had an epiphany. You know, this excuse me, totally makes sense to me now why the Tea Party is attacked. What would be your biggest fear if you were trying to implement an agenda like this, a grassroots organization that was interested in the truth, you know, to pull people together for an achievement of freedom and prosperity? Wow. I guess that would be the first organization that need to be attacked. We try to brand them as racist and bigots and everything else, because if they pulled everybody together and everybody found out what was going on, that would kind of throw a monkey wrench in their plans, wouldn't it?
It certainly would, and I was so impressed last night to see the website that Aaron referred me to and to see how amazing the Tea Parties in your group are all networked together. She announces on that website when all of the other groups are meeting, and it's a wonderful, formidable foe against this agenda. You're right. You can understand why the Tea Parties are so attacked by the left.
Yeah, when we put ReadingTeaParty.com together, it was an experiment because it was a social network. We thought, well, maybe this would be more user-friendly than just a regular website where only a couple of people are adding input, because this site is built by the people who use it. They're adding all the discussions and the blogs and the pictures and the videos, so it's a really a nice conglomeration of everybody's ideas. But I was just looking, there are 2,408 people on there, and this site was put together on July 22nd of 2009. So about a year and a half, and you look at how many people from how many areas all, and there isn't one filter on this site. People can put on, I mean, we ask them to, you know, use good judgment, but there's no, we don't approve everything that goes on there. It just goes right straight on. So this is really a freewheeling patriot forum for people to use, and we felt the power was in the numbers. You know, you never feel as you go to a website and you look on there and you see there are 40 people on there. It's the same 40 people, been there for 2 years, and you think, well, these guys are getting nothing done. So.
Well, that is. I was so impressed. I was just blown away looking at all that last night. It gave me much hope for the future of our country to just see what you've done in your own area. So you should certainly be commended.
There are a lot of people who care in a lot of places, and not everyone has the same skill set. And so, you know, it's funny. All the things that they have turned into evil, you know, this cooperative groupthink, if you do it right, a groupthink isn't a bad thing. I mean, this website's a big cooperative thing.
So we've targeted lies and distortion, right? Oh, so you can't say that anymore, right?
But it's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, you look at it and you think, well, if everybody works together, that really does get a lot done. But when you put weird limits on everybody and you're doing it for nefarious reasons, then all of a sudden that, you know, I mean, everybody putting their best foot forward doesn't actually advance the cause. It all gets shut down.
Well, you know, in order for us to really be free, we need to be a moral society, and we need to start telling the truth and not, you know, if there's deception involved and stealth and all this stuff, you know, how could that possibly be good over the long haul? And, you know, I think that that's what we need to start looking at is what's the truth. And I don't think truth has an agenda or a twist to it. It is what it is. And we need to start looking at that. If there's a real problem here, then we need to look at that and, you know, quit worrying about the rainbows and lollipops and start worrying about what's actually happening.
I certainly agree with you. That's why I wrote another book called The Golden Rule School, trying to bring the golden rule and morality back into our schools. That's something that is missing throughout our nation, and it's mainly because it's missing in our schools, and it's missing in so many of the homes of our nation. If the children don't receive it in their home, they used to receive it in the schools. Now we can't even say prayer in the school. We can't. Some places they don't even salute the flag. They salute the earth instead. They have a pledge to Mother Earth, and they've lost any semblance of morality. In fact, when I was teaching that long-term seventh grade, I told them I was going to put these wonderful quotes up on the board to teach them some moral truths that were really essential for their lives. And one little child raised her hand and said, "What does moral mean?" This was in the seventh grade.
Oh, holy cow.
Isn't that amazing? That's how far we've gone. And these students began to really warm up to this idea. They liked it so much, they started bringing me quotes that their parents had given them. And when they found out that I really was just a long-term substitute for them, one of the girls in the first period class started a petition drive, totally unknown to me. I had no idea what they were doing. But everyone signed it in all five classes. They presented it to the principal, and it said, "We would like Mrs. Curla to stay as our permanent teacher. She is teaching us these wonderful moral truths that we would just not know otherwise."
Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
I think the best way, you know, I don't know whether I read where I read it, you know, it was The Prince by Machiavelli or someplace, but, you know, and I don't know if this gets a little too far down the rabbit hole, but, you know, I read that in order to take over a country, the best thing to do is debase their morality, because then you can bribe them out of their freedom, basically. And, you know, I'm
kind of... Exactly.
Yeah.
It was actually Aaron that told me that last night. That was a quote from Stalin. Is that correct, Aaron?
Yeah, remember that? It was the quote in the Agenda. If you want to watch a great movie, find it. You can find it online at agendadocumentary.com. And it opens with a quote from Stalin. It says, "There are three things that we must gain control over, and that would be the morality, the patriotism, and the spirituality of the country of America. And once we have controlled those three things, we'll be able to conquer them from within." And it's like, uh-oh.
Wow.
We're in trouble.
Wow.
So let's see, we're here in the last like 12 minutes. So for the folks that are like, "Well, I didn't learn that much about the smart meter other than don't get one." Is that like we kind of did global politics 101, which is,
well, it's kind of all together, as
it
you
is.
Found
it's,
out.
It's all the same stuff. So if we were going to get serious about smart meters, bottom line is, best, you know, rule of thumb is tell everybody you know not to get one.
That's right, and protect yourself. Put a sign on your meter saying, "We refuse to allow you to install a smart meter." Put your name and date it. And if you can find out more information about that through the website that you gave, where you can also read my entire 100-page booklet, but there's also another website, refusesmartmeter.com, and it shows how you can order this little steel belt to put around your meter to make sure that it is secured to your home and they can't take it off because it has a lock on it. And then continue to spread the word. One adorable lady in Pennsylvania, when I first found out about this, I wrote just a brief little article that said, "Just Say No to Big Brother's Smart Meter," and that's why I entitled my book the same. But it was a 3-page article. It also included the Republican Central Committee resolution that I had presented to them, and they adopted it unanimously against it. So the Sonoma County Republican Central Committee has formed this resolution against it, and that's gone out to all the other central committees. I sent this out on my email to all of the state presidents for Eagle Forum across the nation. They must have sent it on to others, because this darling lady in Tennessee called me and said, "Thank you so much for this article you've written and the resolution from the Republican Central Committee." She's made 1,000 copies. Every night she puts a rubber band around them and throws them to people's on people's property like she's delivering a newspaper.
Oh, that's classic.
She thought that was the quickest way to get the information out, and people are responding. She's been written up in her local newspaper and on the radio, and you know, we've just got to spread the word, and the more you spread it, the more people are so upset. Yesterday, I was part of the Walk for Life in San Francisco. There were probably 50,000 people there. It was so exciting. Well, normally I have a sign that says something against abortion or something about the sanctity of life. This time I took my no smart meter sign, and in the top of it I said that how this is endangering the lives of children especially. And so it was preserve life, refuse smart meter. And I had a picture of family with beautiful children, and I got lots of comments, and then I had little flyers that I would hand out to whoever asked me about it. And so I probably handed out a good 500 little flyers, and people were really amazed, and some said they've already received them, and they were so upset, they had no idea it even happened, and others asked how they could prevent it. So we just need to, just like you're doing, you're sounding the alarm and your wonderful radio program and your Reading Tea Party website and your great meetings that take place every week. I think I'm so impressed. We have a monthly meeting, and that takes such a big a lot of time to get prepared and ready.
See, that's where they're
impressed.
That's where I'm trying to help them down there, because they're making it too hard. You know, when your meeting is put together by dozens and dozens of people all doing just a little bit, then it isn't this big, giant burden to carry. I don't think people realize how easy it can be to run a really effective weekly meeting and help people get involved in issues, help people push back on some of this. And Smart Meter, I got to tell you, is really a great topic for anybody looking to really push some advocacy, because we're actually in front of the issue, most of us. It's not on our house yet.
In your areas where you haven't been deployed yet, Santa Rosa has 70% of our city's been deployed, and it's just so sad for the people who have them and definitely did not want them.
So are you? What are you hearing from people in your area? Are they aware that they've adopted this General Plan 2020 and all this other crazy stuff?
Well, that's the sad thing. The groups that have been fighting the smart meter the longest, like the EMF network, that stands for Electromagnetic Frequency Network, they are only concerned about the health issues. And when we try to tell them, aren't you kind of curious where this is really coming from? They know that it's not just a state program, that it's a federal program. Well, we're letting them know that, no, this is a United Nations program. It's coming from Agenda 21. Wherever we speak out at a city council meeting or board of supervisors, we use the word Agenda 21, and we tell them to go Google it in case they don't know what it is. We use the word smart growth, that this is part of the Agenda 21 plan. And fortunately, that word is getting out now, and even this group that never wanted to find out anything more about it, they're finding out because we're constantly telling them. And they're reading my booklet, which is, you know, really good. The last chapter goes into all the background and where this is coming from. And so they're getting a real education, and they seem to appreciate me, even though I'm a Republican. And
in spite of your political affiliation?
That's right. And they used to say nothing but bad things about Phyllis Schlafly, and now that they know that she's on the same page with us, in fact, her national radio program yesterday had Deborah Tavares on, who is the first lady that let us really know what was happening here. So it was all over the nation, and the program was amazing. They had people calling in from so many places, all so concerned, and the health issues. One lady said that ever since they got the smart meter, her little boy has had constant nosebleeds, her little 12-year-old son. And others are so concerned the pacemakers don't work properly with the smart meter in the home. And so many health issues. And
wow, so if you have a pacemaker and you get the megameter, you're going to...
Wow.
You just malfunction?
That's right.
Huh. Wow, that's terrific. Who invented these smart meters? Whose idea was this?
Well, as I mentioned, this was part of the 1932 plan of technocracy. They knew someday they were going to be that far advanced, and they've probably been working towards that ever since. the whole invention of the little chips coming from Silicon Valley, radio frequency chips. Everything now has a chip in it. And even our passports, if you have had a new passport, it has an RF chip in it. The goal is to have an RF chip on all of our driver's licenses. They've been trying to fight to that for the longest time. And then by 2012, they'll have RF chips in all of our appliances. And whoever manufactures those chips, they're making millions of dollars on this. So much of it is money. I always tell people, if you have a question of what's really going on, follow the money path and the money trail. And there's so much money behind smart meter and this whole smart grid concept.
Well, shoot, if it makes everybody's power bill, you know, double or triple,
it doesn't
take a genius to figure out that this is probably something they're going to push pretty hard.
And they're also getting stimulus money to implement this in every state.
I forgot, I read about
stimulus.
That. A lot of this is funded by the stimulus bill.
That's right.
How did I forget to let people know that? Yeah, that was the extra great part.
Wow.
Just the gift that keeps on giving.
So true.
Of course, this is all really good for us, even though it drives us into debt to the point of, bankruptcy, I guess. I don't know. Are we in recovery? Do you feel like you're recovering?
You're just taking us down a long road here.
Oh, I should probably leave that alone.
Not that long road.
I personally believe this was all part of the plan to help destroy the middle class. The financial crisis was planned.
Right.
And their goal is to get rid of us. They don't like this middle class. We've always been a thorn in their side. We're the ones that have enough free time and money to start a radio program like you're doing and start a Tea Party group and be concerned about our nation, to write letters, to lobby. If we're totally poverty-stricken and can't have any free time except slave labor, you know, they'll be so happy to wipe out that middle class. And that's been a goal for a long, long time.
Well, you have a great list in this book. Says smart meters are harmful to workers and the people installing them. The following is taken from a PDF file showing a letter that was written September 20th, 2010, so pretty recently, and sent to the chairman of the safety committee at the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. The letter is written by a group of 5 union members and 1 disabled rights activist to warn union workers for PG&E and other electrical companies about the harmful effects. The bullet points are: PG&E is not telling the truth, that the smart meter's RF exposure is compliant with the FCC's RF standards. These lies will endanger you, your family, and the public safety at large. There are no safety standards for long-term exposure. The safety standards that exist in other countries such as Russia and the European countries are far too limited. I mean, good grief, can you imagine? I'm sure, our OSHA standards are probably exactly compatible with those in Russia.
I'm sure Putin is very concerned with the...
That's crazy. We all know that we have, like, a bazillion more regulations than those guys do. Long-term studies about how long-term RF, even at low frequencies, have neurological, immune, and DNA effects, cause sleep disturbances, memory loss, learning and cognitive difficulties, trouble concentrating, spatial disorientation, and slow motor skills, increased blood pressure and heart rate, lower sperm count, miscarriages, chromosome aberrations, and cancer. That is a terrific list.
Wow.
Gosh, if we all took prednisone, then we could have buffalo hump, and the whole picture would be complete. The health hazard, safety concerns. The union guys actually wrote here that the smart meter program is fundamentally anti-labor. Here's automation means loss of jobs, often closures, and considered a benefit of the smart meter program. So these guys, you know, the people that are installing it don't like it. The people who have them don't like them. Pretty much nobody likes them.
I think
they're
dumb.
I also mentioned on that list that some of the people who are installing them are getting ill because they're constantly handling the radio frequency, radioactive appliances that they're attaching to the homes. And that's something they're not telling their employees at all.
That's what this thing was saying. So there's just there's no upside to this. So you're going to do this again for us. We're in our last minute here, and I told you last night we had this terrible habit of going, okay, we're going to let bye. So we're going to try to see if we can't have a better closure to the thing today. So
You're going to come and talk to us tomorrow night in Reading, 6 o'clock, Bonneview Baptist Church. Be there or be square. We're going to have stickers that people can put on their meters at home. Are you going to bring those great yellow yard signs that you had? Do you have a heap of those?
Yes, I have about 12 left. I'll bring those.
Oh, show up early, get your yard sign, and you'll have
and
a lot.
And I'll also have the booklets, and I'll have my large book by Stealth and Deception.
Outstanding. So we will see you, Miss Orlean, tomorrow night. Thank you so much for being on with us today. And for all the people out there who want more information, go to ReadingTeaParty.com, click on Radio Show, and you will see all the information about this program. The archive of this program, if you want to send it to a friend, will be up in a couple of hours. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Reading.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Lucera. 48 hours from now, President Obama will deliver the State of the Union address. He's expected to outline a strategy that will create jobs and make the U.S. more competitive.
I think there's common ground because I think the president realizes, as a result of the November elections, that the American people have a different set of priorities, and so we should seize that opportunity for the good of the country.
Arizona Republican Senator John McCain.
I think the president's message is going to be one of hope, of the future, and of growth. He is going to focus like a laser on the middle class and helping them grow their paychecks if they have a job, growing the economy both in the short term and the long term.
New York Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer, both men appearing on CBS's Face.